Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. Have you guys ever thought more about intuition? And have you thought about what intuition is and what it does and wish you had more intuition? So then you'd A, never have gone on that bloody date, and B, never talked to that stupid person, and C, never been friends with that idiot who completely screwed with your life. Yeah, I know what you mean. Me too. So today's guest is one of those people that not only do I feel like I've known her forever, but she actually has just done way too much. So I was really struggling with the intuition, the introduction. And I decided that we were going to go down the route of intuition because it's so much fun. She literally founded the Inner Knowing School of Intuition. I love that you did that, Yasmeen. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Geeta, for such a lovely introduction. And yeah, I also felt the same way when we met the first time. I was like, I've known you forever. I've known you for lifetimes. Definitely a soul sister. So just to kick it off, you know, intuition, I think, is one of the most misunderstood ideas, concepts of our time. And I think actually the most important concept of this next era that we're moving into, as we're kind of seeing it play out right now in politics and culture, you know, truth is very hard to discern for most people relying on this like linear model of reality. So intuition is one's relationship with like the non-local space, with information beyond time space. So you, in order to actually practice one's intuition, you kind of have to understand how the body works, how energy works, how your endocrine system works. And it's really about developing the right brain perceptual way of experiencing the field of possibility. So it's very much relying on symbols, on the subtle cues, the subtle perceptions of reality. And there's 26 extrasensory intuitive senses beyond the five senses.
No! What do you mean?
Yeah, this is 26 different types of intuition, according to a number of different researchers and folks who have PhDs in intuition medicine. And actually, Aristotle came up with the five senses: sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. And so we've basically privileged that as our way of experiencing reality, but there's way more. And I think like some people feel it through a smell, right? Like or a bad taste in their mouth, or, you know, of knowing a feeling, right? When you meet someone, there's a lot of information that comes in beyond just the external, right?
And like within seconds.
Within seconds, yeah. And we've been taught to just ignore that, to just trust the 3D, to trust our senses. But I mean, I always tell people like one of the practices we do is like take away your tactile touch and how would you feel and interpret the world, right? Like how would you then interact? You'd have to develop other capabilities to experience this reality. So you could even take away other senses to then sit to feel into, well, what else is possible? What else am I open to? And I do think the Western mind has privileged the left brain linear analytical way of interpreting the world. So people are really good at narrow focus, at getting very specific, detailed, going deep into a subject, becoming experts in their field, but they've lost the capacity to become diffused and to see the big picture. So what do we do now? We do drugs, we drink alcohol to actually get into this diffused awareness, right? And most people don't know how to.
I just need to pick that up because I was in Brazil last weekend at a baptism of a half Brazilian child, which is the wildest things, because we had to announce her to each of the four, not senses, what do you call it? Air, fire,
fire, air,
elements. Thank you for that. And we announced her to each element, and which is part of the baptism, which was just wild. I absolutely loved it. And she, the woman who was there, who was the curator of the farm that grew all the produce for the retreat, said, she goes, oh my God, like, have you ever tried ayahuasca? I'm like, no. She goes, it's really helpful for opening the mind. I was like, I never feel like I have a problem with that, to be very honest with you. I don't think there's any problem with it. I'm like, can you not open me up quite as much? And the universe is like, sorry, babe, we've got you. Let's open you up a little bit more. I'm like, why do you need that to open yourself up?
Yeah. I mean, some people are like doing one job, for example, over and over again, or getting very detailed and deep into one thing, one type of way of living. And so they're very fixed in their perception of reality. It's like you are on the first floor of a building and all you see is the same view. And some people need to go up to the 15th floor, to the penthouse, and see the bigger view, to see the diffused view. And most people don't have lost the skill set of being able to see the big picture and see the small picture. So sometimes, you know, plant medicine, you know, can actually take you into the big view. Now, I have a lot to say about that because I do think our nervous systems get fried if we over rely on external substances. Yes. You know, we need to develop the consistent daily habits to be able to bring in this new energy, to expand it in a way that doesn't feel like it's going to blow up, you know, our physical body. So that's really what I practice, is like, what are the daily incremental easy ways to shift, not just get blown and blasted off to another job. But I do think it's helpful for people that are very fixed. You know, if like, you're like,
yeah,
I don't
no, there's
anything.
A lot of my friends as well that have loved it and I'm very happy. But I'm like, I just always laugh and go, they're like, are you coming to my retreat? And I'm like, that would be a no, you know, because I'm just not, you know, I don't have any need to do that. I'm like, we're already being blown up here. Why do I need to add that to my life? Shit, I'd have to integrate all of that on top of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, you already, just knowing you for even a short while, I mean, you already see the big picture. You already have a lot of, I would say, the element of air, right? You can actually, people who have a lot of elements of air actually need more embodiment rather than more diffused. So it's interesting how we just like apply one thing to one person. Like, I'm a lot of earth and I'm also a lot of fire. So for me, like, earth energies actually like to be diffused. We need more practices that diffuse us. So every elemental being, you know, within someone needs something different.
Yeah, you always need balance, don't you? You kind of have one thing and then you have the others, need to balance them, which is interesting. I like that. It really brought me down to the elements when we did this ceremony for this child, my goddaughter, because I was like, wild, I haven't done this for so long. I haven't thought about the elements. I'd forgotten they were called the elements, so God help us. You know, and I was like, this is a good place to reconnect, you know, with all of this. But how do you go to setting up an inner school of intuition? I mean, and I love how you've described this. This thing just rocks. And it's you work on to elevate consciousness and help executives and creatives harness their highest energy through intuition and energy mastery, you know? And I'm just like, what makes you wake up one day and think, damn it, we need a school of intuition? I mean, I love that so much.
Well, I use my intuition to build the school of intuition.
Did you really, though?
You know, I knew we would be needing this skill set a long time ago, you know?
You're part of it.
I'm usually like 7 years ahead of my time and people are like, are you crazy? And then usually like in the future, people will be like, oh, I understand why you did that. And it's hard to be a pioneer. I mean, you definitely pay a price for it. People do not appreciate it, get it. Even with my podcast, Gateways to Awakening, I mean, I was executive in tech in Silicon Valley. And then like what happened to me was I basically went from having a linear, analytical, strategic mindset. I went to business school. I didn't believe in anything mystical or spiritual. I believed that, like, you know, you died, lights out. And I went from growing up exposed to different religions and then becoming like a hard atheist, like hardcore devout atheist, you know?
Wow.
And so it was like I had to experience such a deep level of awe for over a year to get what was actually happening. There's way more happening than just physical reality. There's a ton of multidimensional experiences. There's a ton of things happening in the subtle realms. And also it's really understanding natural law. And for me, it was when I started my intuition journey, I actually thought I was losing my mind because I was getting information about the future. And I mean, I've now at this point, like I have so many data points. Like I was in LA right before the fires. I saw the fires 6 months before they happened. I left 3 months before. So I'm always getting information about things ahead of time. And at the time I really thought, and Herrick, clairaudient is my extrasensory gift. So I hear things non-locally about people, about situations, and it's usually non-linear. It's like random information. So my job was to interpret it and make sense of it. And most people get stuck there. They're very mystical. They get information, but then they don't know how to actually use it. They don't know how to ground it. And so I thought I was losing my mind. My dad's a physician. He was like, what are you talking about? And I ended up finding this program in intuition medicine, spent 2 years studying with a doctorate in intuition medicine, understanding all the skill sets.
What is intuition medicine? Is that like being a medical intuitive?
I guess it's its own category. It was something that was created. I think Carolyn Mace really crystallized that field because she also, I believe, got a PhD in intuition medicine. And my teacher also
did. Okay. Because I've always known her as a medical intuitive. So I'm assuming they're similar.
So similar training background, which is being able to look into the body. It's almost like remote viewing into the body. And so what I discovered was, oh my gosh, there's actually a lot that you could see when you close your eyes and go into these, let's say, trance states, you know? And it blew my mind because I was living as a Silicon Valley tech executive, and then I was doing all this energy work. And what was happening was that my life was becoming so much easier. Like everything I wanted came to me. I was like exerting no effort. It was like, okay, I just need to get in the flow of energy. I need to follow these instructions. And it really blew my mind because I was like, you know, I think everyone is paying a price for their productivity. And I produce a lot. I mean, I've made films, I've done podcasts, I've written many books, and I actually get 8 hours of sleep. I do 2 hours of meditation. I have so much free time, and it's because I don't use my willpower and I don't use linear time. And so that was the birthplace of the school where a lot of my friends who were like high powered executives, but very burnt out were like, what is going on, Yasmin? Like, what are you doing? So I really created the school for them, and it's changed their life. Like, it's really about learning how to work with the non-local field and your endocrine system are like the two gateways. But beyond intuition, which I thought was even more interesting, was how do you actually change what you see if you don't like it? Like, you can't really change the collective field. You can only change your own field. And if enough people change their own field, they do change the collective field. But you could really tune your frequency to a different, let's say, timeline. And that was what I spent, I spent about 10, 11 years studying intuition. But then the last 3-4 years, I studied natural law. And that to me, like quantum mechanics, that to me with intuition is so interesting.
Stop being interesting because we're going to go on a break and then we're going to come right back because you just said quantum mechanics and quantum physics, which you didn't say the physics part, but they make me so happy. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so natural law, like I understand the intuition thing, and there were just too many things in there that I want to pick up. One is that it is so shocking to me that when you stop being driven, you're so much more productive.
Yes. Yes.
That is wild. Yes. I'm like, what the actual hell? Like, it's because it's not stressful, which is so frightening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we just stick to that.
We are all collectively running a program that in order to accomplish something or to be productive, we have to work hard. We have to give away our prana, our life force, our energy. And I will say, if like you want to zoom out, my philosophy is that this planet that we're on, because of the way the economic system is run, we are basically on an enslavement planet where everyone who is born believes that they have to be productive and efficient to be valuable. So we don't see people as souls. We see people as commodities. Like that's because of the economic system that we're in.
As a workforce. And I saw this image today, which said that people came up with the idea of children leaving home at the age of 18 so that they had more fodder for the enslavement. So more people had to go out and get jobs. More people had to buy houses because they had nowhere to live. And I was just like, oh my God, like that is just, that blew my brain completely. Cause that is not an Indian thing, you know, at all. Like leave home where, like when, are you serious? Don't just stay here, you know, forever kind of thing. But that's just shocking.
I want to double click on that point. Cause I haven't heard someone say that, you know, and I relate cause I'm Middle Eastern. what's interesting is I do think that we're in this like loneliness epidemic. So a lot of people who have left home are like now, you know, their quality of life actually has decreased quite substantially. Like obviously you want to build some independence, you know, and but I do think that there is something lost in the art of family, in the art of community, and the art of also community, and then being in spaces that, you know, I think family is meant to trigger you. Like, I think that's part of our soul's journey.
And you're meant to grow, not protect your bloody peace and run off into a corner and sit. See, this is the shit that used to annoy me when I first became spiritual. I was like, I'm happy to be spiritual, but I'm not sitting in a loincloth up in a goddamn mountain because I have to do this. So we need a whole different version of spirituality that works for single parents, although I'm doing this stuff, you know? And then you come to this peace crap. And you're like, okay, I see that, but you're not growing if you don't go near anywhere that develops resilience and triggers you and makes you grow. And so we're saying that, okay, see, the thing is, it's this. You've got your house, you've got your family. You're meant to leave, but then you can't stay in your little community because there's not enough work. So then you have to go to a big town to stay where you live in a shoebox and there isn't a community and there isn't your family and there isn't anything, but that's okay because that's how it's meant to be. Says who?
Yes.
And then you have your child. And then you have, like, my friend who just moved back to Brazil. She was like, the level of support that I get here is unprecedented. Duh, you just moved around the corner from your sister and your mother.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that so much. I mean, I'm also considering moving closer to family at this point in my life, too, because I'm just kind of like, wait, why am I all the way out here? You know, I have a big friend crew. I think there is definitely chosen family. And there's chosen mentorships and that kind of thing, which is amazing. But I do think that there's a program or a script, an assembly line kind of life that we're all fed. Like, you have to do this and then you do this. And then most people are like so unhappy and don't even know themselves. Like, that's the part. So I left.
That's okay, because America created antidepressants, which they make a shit ton of money out of. So the pharmaceutical businesses give you that because now you've left home and you're sad. Oh, no. Here, have a pill. Oh, you're not getting sex. Oh, no. Join this right-wing incel group. Oh, you're not having... I mean, it's like, oh, my God.
Right.
This is all about because we had the first thing in the first place.
Right. And this goes back to the idea of resilience. Like, if you're not able to sit in boredom, if you're not able to sit in resilience, then you actually don't have the skill set to navigate through some of the tough moments in life. There's always, like, something to kind of... And but I do feel really sorry for... Like, I have such compassion... And I have such compassion for the collective right now. Like, I think that it is, even as someone who knows, is aware, and is practicing this work on a daily basis, I mean, you have to basically go against the dominant wave of energy right now on the planet in order to actually be sane and to be normal. Because, like, yes, you're just pushing against the collective field.
Yes and no. But I also don't think that normal is what it's made out to be. Because I look at this and I make sure I'm keeping track because I don't want the Epstein thing to go past unwitnessed.
Right.
No, I'm committed to witnessing it, but I don't witness it and then have it break my heart anymore.
Yes.
I witness it, clock it, and to understand and to fuel what I do.
Yes.
That's how I see it. I see it as something that energizes me and I am learning to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Now, does this mean I am enjoying it? No. But I don't have to enjoy everything. I sure as shit did not enjoy childbirth and the buggers came out and they were good after. You know what I mean? So I can appreciate the labors we went through. But that's what this to me feels like. And I make myself do it. I make myself watch what's happening in Minnesota. I watch people coming out of having read the unredacted files. You know, I'm really keeping an eye on this stuff and I'm in another whole country. Because one can fully appreciate what is being birthed, which is this, that when you keep telling us that our reality is more important than our feelings and our intuition, we believe you. But when we then see you going, yeah, you know, all that reality we told you about, that was all bullshit. None of it is actually true because it doesn't suit us. You're like, holy shit. So actually what you're saying is your reality is something that only serves you when it serves you. And the rest of the time, we're not supposed to care about it. Fine. I have freedom to create my reality then.
Right. I mean, I'm with you. I am very much like a person who is aware of what's going on in the collective and in culture. And I've read through all the unredacted, you know, testimonials. And it's interesting because I think part of it is like having an objective awareness towards all of it. It's like, okay, I'm going to see the big picture. Like, we live in a polarity planet And I do think a lot of it actually, two things came out from, and I was actually writing about this back in November, was that we are in a collective integration of our suppressed shadow, of the Western shadow is now being revealed. If you do not integrate your shadow side, then it turns into perversion. It turns into the dark, like the real darkness.
Yeah, because when there's not enough femininity to balance the masculinity becomes toxic.
Yes, yes. It's like, and I would call it like the dark feminine energy. There's like the light feminine, the dark feminine, the light masculine, the dark masculine. And the dark feminine is the very like intense voice of the feminine, the oracle, the witch, the seer, Kali. The one who brings the Kali, the one who brings people into the underworld. And she's the most projected on person. You know, people call her chaotic. She's actually the most grounded. She's the most real.
She knows who she is.
She knows who she is. And it terrifies people who have not integrated their dark feminine side. And as someone, I think, who is definitely a representation of the dark feminine, like I have a Mars, Mercury, Sun conjunction. You know, I came here with the warrior energy. There's definitely a lot of projection, you know, and it's okay. I think we all came here to steward that too, to just be like, okay, that's fine. But it is time for like a major reckoning. And I'm actually happy about this moment. Like, you know, destruction is necessary when systems are built on extraction and pillaging. And I mean,
murder.
Yeah. It's basically, I wrote this article called The People Versus Power. Because what we're seeing is like the collective is really now in this place of putting the power dynamics in court. And it's amazing. Yeah.
And you know what? The collective needs to know they have power in order to come back into place. They just need to know that, you know, and they don't know that that's there until they learn to use it. And it's a combination of knowing that there's the power of the masses plus the focus of the few and yes. What you can do to help. And these are how movements are born. So we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a minute because I want to talk about your book.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. One thing I want to quickly say before we move on, which is that the goddess Kali, Kali Mata, is Mother Kali, is such an interesting icon to me for where we are today, because she was so much the goddess of destruction and chaos, but within the destruction and the chaos was creation. Like you had to burn it down to make the new version of it. And she was so unapologetically herself. She just seems to me to be such an emblem of the era that we're actually in, that's kind of how she feels to me.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so happy that Kali, the theme of Kali, the energy of Kali is coming back. Like the dark feminine is now coming into a place of respect and power. And I even tell people, you know, there's a lot of groups that I'm a part of. And if I see it's like all men and at the leadership table, I'm like, you guys are not going to be relevant. You have to, whether I'm the person who's going to call it out, someone with my archetype will come and inevitably bring this to light. Because if you do not have that representation at the leadership level, there's going to be perversion. There's going to be problems.
Look at it.
You can't foresee. Yeah, you need someone to tell the truth, to be like the warrior energy. And it's a shame that we're so afraid of it. We just, and it's so funny to me when I hear men complain like, oh, women are all crazy. I'm like, if you actually look at the statistics, the amount of women that die by the hands of their male partner is overwhelmingly insanely high compared to the opposite. So if anyone actually has the data to support whether we are crazy, it's not like, it's just not truth. Like it's so fascinating to me. Like, how are you saying it?
Yeah, but it also then becomes, and again, a lot of these conversations originate from the United States, but it's still good to have the conversation, which is that, like I was reading something and there was a man saying, a woman said, oh, we don't need men anymore. And he goes, well, then who's going to protect you? And she wrote back, from whom?
Mm.
And I was like, damn. Okay, that's like really deep. Like, who would we need protection from if you're not here? And I was like, you know, we're in a place where men need not to become obsolete. Because men have spent so long trying to make women obsolete. that the pendulum is literally going to the, it's like feminism. You have to burn the bra to come back to go, I want to buy a nice pretty bra, you know, because that's what I want to wear. We're getting to that obsolete. And it's a really, I find it a fascinating time to be alive on so many levels, particularly like growing up learning Nazi history and then watching it be made day by day in the United States is wild in itself. Anyway, let's go back to another topic, go forward into another topic. Your most recent book, which I actually have not bought, which I'm planning on, was A Glitch in the Matrix, right?
Yes. Glitch in the Matrix.
Tell me about that, because I love that there is a glitch in the Matrix, because I firmly believe in glitches. Yeah. So I just like the bloody...
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. So this book was basically a compilation of the top energy mastery codes that I learned over 275 interviews on my show. I just wanted to distill it in a very simple way for everyone to understand, to tell them about my journey, give them some case studies of client work and ways that people can shift their energy very fast. It's really about giving people sovereignty. Like that's what I feel is missing on this planet is most people don't have a sense of free will. A lot of times their attention awareness is being scattered or taken by other people, other situations. So I really feel like my dharma on this planet is to help people reclaim their sovereignty, reclaim their full energy signature, and to direct it towards what do they want in this life? What is, you know, in the words of Charles Eisenstein, what is the most, you know, a more beautiful world that our eyes can see? Like, what is it that you feel you want to birth and create in this world, as opposed to getting hooked in, you know, what Vadim Zeland calls pendulums? Like, we just get hooked into these packets of energy that are vying for our attention. And so that's really what the book is about. It's like, how do you actually move through this in an easy, reliable manner? And A Glitch in the Matrix to me is when things, it's so funny. It's like impeccable timing with this book launch that came out like 2 weeks ago and or even less than that. And it's like basically about how reality isn't what it seems to be. You know, the program that the dominant program that is written on the planet is actually one that is not yours. Like it is not your program. You basically inherited it. I think everyone is watching their own movie in this life. And what's happening is people are pulling people into their movie theater as opposed to inviting people in. Oh, I'm watching this amazing movie, my life. Do you want to come? You're welcome to leave and go as you want. But what's happening is we're getting coerced into other people's version of reality. And that's just, to me, an unfair way to live your life, like completely unconscious. I could go more into the quantum mechanics. I didn't want to like overcomplicate the book. So I teach a lot more kind of nuanced stuff in my intuition school and energy mastery school. Like,
I love that because I'm gonna definitely buy that and read it. I want to, as we have the last few minutes, I want us to go back to this thing of you overachieving while doing less, because I just love that idea because I'm trying to learn that at the moment. I made a commitment where I was like, I'm gonna work my heart out 4 or 5, 6 weeks and then 5 weeks and then I'm gonna take 4 or 5 days off. And I'm due to book my next thing. And I'm like, oh, so yeah, that's really expensive. Like, I don't know. And, you know, I happen to live in a place where all my friends live in another country, you know? And I'm kind of like, oh, I'm already trying to con myself out of doing it. And I made that promise and I don't want to not do that. But I'm comparing that to the fact that I'm so productive without feeling as stressed. And that's really frightening in a way, because I'm like, wait, should I not be like just 24/7 busy? Like, what am I going doing wrong here? How do I handle that?
Yeah, so that's such a great question. I think, so the way that I look at it is our fractals of consciousness are usually fragmented out in other timelines, the past, the future, right? And the person who is the most powerful person in any room, doesn't actually matter what they've done in their life. It's how present they are and how much of the fractals of their own consciousness are in this frame. It's like a movie in which all your consciousness is in this frame and this frame only. And that takes a tremendous amount of training to be able to just like bring all your, collect it back.
So you're saying that we're the most powerful when we have all of us embodied in this present space.
Yes.
Wild.
Yes. And if your mind goes, you're creating all your thoughts. Like I've actually experimented with this for many, many years where I like would never have a random thought. Never. And it's actually other people that get me out of that space. But I was very disciplined about my thoughts. The moment a negative thought creeped in, I kicked it out and I replaced it with what I wanted instead. That takes discipline. It takes practice. But I usually don't have random thoughts anymore, or like negative, because, you know, my mind is not hijacked anymore. Like, I am directing the flow of energy in my life. And so I don't waste time getting, you know, pulled in or sucked in. I think social media is the easiest way. It's not like you're just like looking at your Instagram. You're actually spending 8 hours now contemplating, oh my God, this picture that you saw and this person, and comparison is the thief of energy. Because you're not really you're not competing with anyone else in this life except your higher self. And that's what is driving so much depression, is everyone is comparing themselves.
What is it that when I do less, I feel less productive? Even though I know I'm achieving more, how do you manage that thing where you feel like you're less productive?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to say about this, but I'll keep it brief. There is an energetic accounting going on whenever we work on something. So if we're creating something from the heart, for example, if we're creating something that is in service for the collective, it actually gives us more energy, right? And so I try not to do anything that takes away my energy, right? Like, when most people go to a corporate job, for example, they are giving away way more energy than what they're getting in return for things that they don't really feel aligned, feel coherence. So even I'll say, like, some client work that I take on, I feel a sense of extraction from some people, in which case I'm like, it doesn't actually matter how much this person pays me. They are an extractive person, and it's not going to be worth it long term, right? My energy is the most valuable resource. So that's the way that I kind of maneuver my way through, like, the world of creativity and output. But I try not to value my sense of worth based on what I produce. I think a lot of people do. I think, right, going back to the enslavement thing, is that we feel like we're only as worthy as we are productive. But I actually think it's more about doing the things that lights your heart up, right? Like, just enjoying this life. And I think that was a big, you know, piece that I turned away from, this path of assembly line life, very secure kind of path, and a very, like, easy path in some ways too. You know, it was like, I didn't have to think about the world so much. And I just decided, I want to enjoy my days. Like, I want to enjoy every day on this earth. I don't want to wait till I'm retired. I don't want to, you know, wait till this. Like, I jump out of bed in the morning and I am ecstatic to get my day on, you know? So.
Yeah. I like that you said that you don't value yourself based on what you produce. And I think that that's really important, because especially as women, because you get valued for who you nurture, how much love you give, how much you show up. And there it's a little hoppity skippity jump to what I produce, because if I don't produce, I'm none of the other things before, right? Because that's the inevitability of producing. That is wild. I think I'm going to absorb that as my mantra for 26. Do less, yay, have more, produce more. And I just have your school pulled up here, so everybody can go find you at innerknowingschool.com, and Inner Knowing School of Intuition, which I love. I'm just like, I need to just sign up so I'm actually just have that somewhere, that I'm going to a school of intuition, damn it.
Join us, Gita. I'd love to have you.
Cheers me up immensely on every level. So thank you so much, Jasmine, for joining us. I'm very grateful, and I really appreciate that you took the time.
Thank you so much, Gita, and thank you for all your questions. I just feel so lit up by this conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. I really appreciate you. My name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I obviously have. And do reach out, look at Yasmin's books, because she's a prolific writer from every avenue of life, from tech and marketing through this, you know, woo. And there'll be something for everyone there for you to enjoy. And we will be with you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Gita Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.